If you're able to stand, take the blue hymn book there. If you're able to stand and turn to page number 186. Page number 186, if you're able to stand, please stand. And can it be?
Thank you. glad to be your church this morning with us. Having to worry about persecution. But Father, I pray that each one of us here this morning, as the service progresses, I pray that we come here to meet with God. And I ask that God would come down and meet with us. I ask you to take Pastor, hide him behind the cross, and use him in a tremendous way for this morning. That each person here this morning would get something and their heart would be touched for Christ. Now, Father God, we want to give you praise. We want to love you. And we want you to be glorified and honored in it all. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. You know, I love that hymn that we just sang. And you say, why do you sing a hymn and you sing all five verses of it? Because you can't take any of those five verses out.
Amen. That's right.
Can't take any of those five verses out. And you go to a lot of churches today, and they'll say, well, sing the first and third and fifth verse. No, you got to sing all of them.
Yes.
You see, because there's so much in there in those verses that Charles Wesley wrote. And what jumped out to me is that last one, he says, the second to last one, he says, my chains fell off and my heart was free. I arose, went forth, and followed thee.
Hey.
I'm thankful this morning that Jesus Christ provides a perfect salvation, that Jesus Christ can take away our sins this morning. So this morning, as far as announcements go, I thank you again for those that pray. You know, we're just trying to go out there on Thursday nights from 6 to 7 over there on Front Street, Pine Street, just to hold up some scripture signs. Not trying to say anything. I don't think we've said anything at all the 4 weeks that we've done it. 5 weeks, I don't think any words have been spoken as far as just holding up what does the Bible say. You know, that's why I'm here this morning. That's the reason I got saved, because when I was 20-some years old, I almost died. It kind of woke me up a little bit, and I just wanted to know, what is the truth? Who's telling me the truth? There was a lot of confusion in my mind when I was in the Air Force and serving our military, and I just wanted to know what truth was, and that's why I'm here this morning. What is truth? Who's telling the truth? All right? And so what we try to do is just hold up those signs. Just hold, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? So we just hold up some scripture signs. I think the Lord's been blessing it. Just trying to be a witness and a testimony to the community. Pray for more openings and opportunities. I said this during the Sunday school hour. I'll say it here now again. We're going to try, the Lord willing, to set up a cleaning list starting in August 1st. We're going to put it back on that back bulletin board. So if you'd like to clean a church, we'll have the instructions and all that back there. If you'd like to do that along with the mowing list. From here forward, my wife and I will take care of the last couple weeks here this month. And on August 1st, we'll pick up with that on the backboard. And the last thing, I need to see after church, about 5 or 10 minutes after church, if we talk a little bit. I'd like to see all the members real quick downstairs for just a quick moment, if you're a member of the church, to see you downstairs. I got a few things I got to go over. So with that being said, let's take our blue hymnbook again. And if you're able to stand, you can't sing this one sitting down. It's impossible. Page number 357. Page number 357. And we're going to try to sing this one here. Page number 357. If you can't stand, that's fine. But if you're able to, please stand. Page 357. He rants.
Thank you. joy increasing and with gratitude unceasing lifted up the prize forevermore to me. I will join the host they're singing in the anthems ever ringing to the King of Love who ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take our sin, lift him up from my clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me.
Amen. Thank the Lord. I forgot to mention this morning. It is a blessing this morning to have the mayor here with her husband and her children and Emma. Listen, Miss Frances called me up, I don't know, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago now. She called me up late Saturday night and said that she had fallen out there at the beach, heart stopped beating. And I'm thankful God answers prayer.
Amen.
I believe that. I believe God answers prayer. I do believe that.
Yes.
I believe God intercedes and God does things. And thank the Lord she's here this morning. It's a blessing to have him here. Emma, I'm glad you're doing better. And I pray to God the doctor will figure out what's going on. It won't happen no more. Amen. We're going to sing our last song here. It's a blessing to have them here with us this morning. Last song we're going to sing this morning. If you're able to keep standing, if you can't, you can have a seat. Page number 417. Again, another song that you just have a hard time sitting down singing. Page 417. It is well with my soul.
are kind. I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above,
Brother, won't you tell me where?
Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end.
Brother, won't you tell me
where could I go but to the Lord?
To
special. You know what's wonderful this morning? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is wonderful this morning. Blessed Jesus. Blessed Jesus. If you take your Bibles this morning, if you have them, look at Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 1. The Bible says here in Matthew 27, verse number 1, and when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, and led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the state of God. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I just thank you for how much you love us. Thank you, Lord, for providing a perfect salvation once for all. Lord, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were at sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now saved through his blood. We shall be saved from wrath to come. Lord, I thank you for it. Lord, I just ask for your wisdom and guidance this morning, Lord, that you would just move me out of the way, Lord. Open our eyes, open our ears to receive what you'd have us to hear, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I asked a question this morning. What's going on in society, in our world? I'm going to take this jacket off because I'm burning up here. You know, I got a heart for young people. I got a heart for young people. See, ask the question, you say, why are there so many suicides? Why are there so many suicides? Why are there so many people addicted to prescription medication? Why is there an uptick in mental health because of depression and anxiety? Now, as I speak as a fool to you this morning, I have a master's degree in human counseling, deal with crisis and trauma, so I have a little knowledge when it comes to mental health. But I think we're running to the wrong place for help. You see, the 6 years that I did work with kids that were locked up for some horrible crimes, I'm afraid most of the time they were using them as human guinea pigs to dope them up to see how the reactions would be so that they could try to control them. You see, what's happened to our society is we've taken the Word of God, we've thrown it in a trash can, and we think that we can handle it and figure it out ourselves when we're creating more of a mess rather than fixing the problems. The global pandemic is not COVID. The global pandemic is sin. Do you understand this morning? We can wash our hands, we can wear a mask, we can get shots, we can do all these things to save the physical body. But what about the soul of mankind? What about eternity? What about when you take that last breath, where are you going to stand? I've said this before at a funeral. Your religion or what you think, what you believe, whether it's not in God, whether it's in God, whether it's Buddha, whether it's Taoism, whether it's Confucianism, whatever it might be, it may be good enough to live by. It may be moral. It may provide character. But the question is not, is it good enough to live by? The question is it good enough to die by? Because that is the end of all men. Now, I try to go every week to visit Brother Les and Sister Nancy. But when I walk in that room and I see him laying there on that hospital bed, that is the end of all men. It ultimately comes down to a certain time, period of time, to where all men, I don't care how old you are, be young, at some point it's going to come down to that final spot And all that matters, listen, it won't matter how much money you have. It won't matter what kind of car you drove. It won't matter what kind of house you had. It won't matter what kind of clothes you wear. It won't matter how beautiful or how handsome you were. All that will matter in that moment is where will you spend eternity? You say, preacher, I don't believe in eternity. Nonsense. Everybody believes in eternity. Even an atheist. You know why? Because he's got a conscience. You know how God's real this morning? Because you got a conscience and you know the difference between good and evil. And nobody had to teach you that. Look, I've raised four children and not one of my kids did I ever say, come here. Come here, Ellie. Come here, Ben. Come here, Joey. Sit on my lap for a second. 2, 3 years old. Come here, sit on my lap. I'm going to teach you today how to be a good thief. And I'm going to teach you today how to be a good liar. Any of you that raise children know your children automatically know how to lie. You didn't teach them. Look, I remember one time she had one of her friends over. She was in the kitchen. Us adults were sitting in the living room. And all of a sudden, we see this blur come through the living room. Into the bedroom. I was like, whoa, time out. You're moving too quick. Come back here. What you got in your hand? Nothing. No. The other hand. What you got in the other hand? Nothing. I didn't teach them. I didn't say, hey, you really want to try to deceive somebody. When they ask to see what's in the one hand, put it in the back and then flip the other one out there. They automatically did it. Not one parent, and if you're a good parent, you do not teach your kid how to lie, but they do it. You didn't teach them how to steal, but guess what? They do it. Why? Because we have in our conscience, we have in our soul the knowledge between good and evil because of what Adam and Eve did about 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden. And the sin curse came upon all of mankind, and all of mankind's trying to fix all the problems of mankind outside of going where you can get the only hope there is, and that's Jesus Christ. Is depression real? Absolutely. Is anxiety real? Absolutely. But a pill will only put a Band-Aid on the problem. It won't solve the problem. And that's a lot of what we're trying to do with our society today. Let's say we got a gunshot wound to our shoulder. If I got a gunshot wound to my shoulder, and Brother Lance comes to me, hey, Brother Pastor, I can help you out. And he puts some water on there, he cleans it up, and then he gets a bandage, he puts it on, and say, okay, Pastor, you're good to go. I'll be like, I appreciate all you've done for me, Brother Lance, but can you please take me to the hospital? But that's what we're doing in society today. We got heartache, we got problems, we got depression, we got all that. And we're cleaning up a little bit. We put a Band-Aid on it. We say, you're good, go ahead. But we're not dealing with the root of the problem. Why an individual like Robin Williams, a comedian that his job was to make people laugh, and he did do that, go and take his life? A man that had, and in the world's eyes, to strive for what you're supposed to strive for, this man had everything you could have. Yet he got to a point in his life, he said, it's not worth it, I'm in this, the depths of despair. Why are you in the depths of despair when you have everything there is? Look, this is what I used to tell the kids in the juvenile center, I'm going to say something in this church. Think. All I want you to do this morning is think. If there is no God, and then we're to strive to get as much as we possibly can, then why would anybody that ever gets everything that they possibly can take their life? Because that's not it. Jesus Christ provides hope. He provides deliverance. He provides encouragement. He provides forgiveness of sins. But that's not to say that he's going to take away all your troubles. You see, a lot of people have a misnotion in their mind. They think, well, if I get saved, if I come to Jesus Christ, then all my problems will be taken away. Actually, your problems will probably get worse. But you have somebody to see you through them. Now take your Bible and flip over to Romans chapter number 1. Look at Romans chapter 1 and look what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 1. The very first verse says, in Romans 1:1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Romans 1:1 says, Paul, the first thing it says about Paul, it says that he was a servant of Jesus Christ. You see, that's who I serve this morning. I serve Jesus Christ. Look, Jesus did something for me that makes no sense. You think it makes no sense? What we do on Thursday nights, either we're crazy, we're lunatics, and we need to go into a psych ward, or we have something that's true and right. What right person in their right mind would take a Thursday evening and go hold up some Bible verses on a street corner? That's insanity. That makes no sense. Unless there's something true behind it. Either I'm crazy, either I'm a lunatic, and the ones of you coming with the church with me and your members here, you're right there with me then because you're in the same boat. We're crazy this morning. Look, if what we believe isn't true, we're crazy wasting our time this morning coming to church. You might as well just go fishing or do something you like to do. Why are you even here this morning if the Bible's not true? If Jesus Christ isn't who he claims to be, he's the worst man that ever lived. If Jesus Christ is not who he claimed to be, he's the worst man that ever lived because of all the people he deceived. Think about this morning. Who did Jesus Christ claim to be? He claimed to be God. Now some will say, no, he didn't. Blah, blah. No, just read your Bible. That man claimed to be God. Think about this morning. At the end of the service, after I get done preaching, I say one last thing. I say, listen, before y'all leave, I just want you to know one last thing. I'm God. You all will look at me like, and forgive me for keep saying y'all, but I've lived down in Charleston for 26 years, so that's where I've lived, so y'all are going to get y'all. If y'all think about this morning, you're going to get a northern boy that preaches in a southern dialect. If I say I'm God before you walk out here, you probably would never come back, and you'd be right to do so. You would say that man, that preacher's crazy. And then it would probably go viral all through Facebook and a catasaqua thing, whatever it is, like we did. It's going to go everywhere. It's going to say, wait, that man at Ray Street Baptist Church claims to be God. But that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He claimed to be God manifested in the flesh. Either he is who he says he is, or he's the worst man that ever lived. He is who he says he is. Now listen to me this morning. If he is who he says he is, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, and it is an appointed man once to die, but after this, the judgment. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that those that are saved will have to stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Whom do we have to deal with this morning? Jesus. He is the one with whom we have to do. Take your Bible and look over at Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Actually, verse number 9. Hebrews 4, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 says this, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. You see here, listen, this morning in the book of Hebrews, you get this establishment all through the book of Hebrews, something that is much better. If you read through the book of Hebrews, you're going to consistently see the word better, better, better. You see, in Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness from sins and we have the ability to enter into rest. What did God do on the seventh day of creation? He rested from his works. Read. Some of you have read through Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the creation of all mankind. On the seventh day, the Bible said God rested from his works, which means he ceased from working anymore with his creation. He made it, there it is, and he put it forward. The Bible says here that we can have a rest. But you see, a lot of people don't enter that rest because they think they continually have to merit God's goodness and God's salvation, when in reality, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus says there's none good but one, and that's God. If you can be good enough to get to heaven, then you are God. Because Jesus says there's none good. There's only one, and it's God. So if I can be good enough, then I'm putting myself on the same plane and same level as God. I cannot merit God's salvation. You see, this morning, you say, why do we get the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments are a mirror for us this morning. The Ten Commandments cannot save. If you are honest this morning, you've broken every one of them. Have you ever stolen something? You're a thief. You ever lied? You're a liar. Have you always loved God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Absolutely not. Have you ever set up a graven image? Well, no, preacher, I've never done that. What about the sports gods? What about the music gods? What about the video game gods? What about all these other gods that are out there? We fall down and we worship them. The God of our job, the God of our career, the God of education, the God of this, the God of that. That's the second or third commandment. We've broken it. Look, the Ten Commandments were this, and that's just 10 of them. What the Ten Commandments are, they're a mirror for us to look into that mirror and realize, I can't meet what God's requiring. When you look in that mirror, look, some of you looked in that mirror this morning, because some of you look pretty good this morning. Right? You looked in the mirror, you fixed your hair, you brushed your teeth, you did this, but you didn't look like that when you first rolled out of the bed. No. You're lying if you are. So guess what? You woke up, you're like, trying to get the sleep out of your eyes, your breath stinks, it's horrible, and you get into the bathroom, and you look in the mirror, and you open your eyes, you're like, oh, I hate this mirror. Why does it always show me as being ugly? No, the mirror is not the problem. All the mirror is doing is showing you what you are, and that's all the Ten Commandments is. When you look into the mirror of the Ten Commandments, the Bible says it's a schoolmaster. It's just showing you what you are before a holy God. And that you cannot measure up to what God requires. And God requires sinless perfection. If you're honest, you'll never measure up to sinless perfection. And if you do, then you're on the same plane as God. Because he's the only one that's sinlessly perfect. You see, that's why Jesus Christ had to come and die for our sins. You see, we look at that mirror, we realize what we are, and what it should do, instead of smashing the mirror and saying, I hate God, and I forget God, and this none of it is true, instead of smashing the mirror and being angry at them, what just the mirror is showing, it should cause you to get broken down before God and say, God, I need help. God, if this is the only way, I need help. There's no hope for me. And that's when the Father says, no, hang on, there is hope. I sent Jesus Christ, my son. The Bible says he became sin for us. Jesus Christ, when he was in that garden, before he went to that cross, the Bible says he took of that cup, and I believe that cup, the reason he struggled with that so much, you know, three times he cried out to the Father, said, Father, if there be any other way, then drink this cup, may it occur. But he said, nevertheless, if thy will, I'll drink it. I believe that cup was the cup of sin. You see, Jesus Christ, listen, what bothered Jesus Christ the most to realize that he would have to lose fellowship with the Father for a moment of time because he would have to become sin for us, the man who knew no sin. You see, today we look so lightly at sin and we think nothing of sin, but Jesus, it broke his heart that he would have to be separated from the Father for a moment in time because he would have to become sin for us who knew no sin. The Bible says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, the reason I deserve to go to heaven today is not because of anything Chris Welland's done. It's all of what Jesus Christ has done for me, and I'm now in him. He's now in me. I now have his righteousness, his perfectness, his sinlessness now imputed to my account, given to me, now that I can be now righteous with the Father because of Jesus Christ. None good of my own. It's all of him. That's why I serve him. Because of what he's done for me. That's why I love him this morning. Because of what he's done for me. That's why I have peace this morning. Because of what he's done for me. Jesus Christ has fulfilled all that the Father required, and there's now rest. Do you understand? If you're weary this morning, if you have mind battles this morning that you don't even told your own wife or your husband, if you're battling things in your heart and your mind and you're depressed and you're down and you're out and you say there's no hope, there's hope in Jesus Christ. He can provide a perfect salvation and deliverance from sin. if you'll only trust him this morning. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, for he that entered into rest, talking about Jesus, he hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of spirit and soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says that everything is naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do this morning. You know who you have to deal with this morning? Him, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Who's our great high priest? It's Jesus Christ. Look what it says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For look what it says, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, Jesus Christ was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He can help you this morning. Jesus Christ can help you this morning. The Bible says, lastly, it says, let us therefore, because we have such a great high priest in Jesus Christ, because he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because he was tempted in all points yet without sin, because of those things, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. No, preacher, I got it. I got it. It's all good. I got it. I can handle it. No, you can't handle it. I can't handle it. You know, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I'm not sure I would even be standing here this morning. I know. I could probably say with some pretty good confidence this morning that if I hadn't truly gotten saved, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about praying some prayer. I'm not talking about just going. I'm talking about truly getting born again, converted, changed from darkness to light, from death to life, like Amazing Grace says. I don't think I'd still be married. I think I'd be divorced if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I probably would say I probably wouldn't be here this morning. I probably would have taken my own life. This thing's real. Jesus is real. He can change your life. He can help you. But what it takes is a brokenness before him. Willing to be to admit what you are before him and just turn to him by faith, believing in what he's done for you. He's paid the price that you cannot pay. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, the Bible says in Hebrews 5, verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I'm going to close with these last scriptures and I'm going to pray. If you still have your Bible open, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 says this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 says this. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Look at this now. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus Christ at this very moment is in heaven to now appear before God for us. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. You see, Jesus doesn't have to go in every year to offer his blood to provide atonement and appeasement to God the Father because of the sins of the people, like the high priest in the Old Testament had to do. You see, in the Old Testament, if you sinned before God, you had to bring a lamb, you had to bring a sheep, you had to bring an ox. And as you brought that lamb, sheep, and ox because of the sin you committed, you brought it to the high priest there either at the tabernacle or at the temple, and as you brought that perfect lamb or that perfect cow or sheep or goat, it had to be perfect. There couldn't be no blemishes. And as you brought it to atone for your sins, you brought it to the priest there before the brazen altar where it was to be burnt as a sacrifice to God. And you would put your hands upon that animal and you would take that knife and you would slit its throat and its blood would be shed because of the sin you committed. And then the priest would take that sacrifice, and he would do what he had to do with it, and he put it on the altar there, and it would be burnt because it was a sacrifice unto God for the sins committed. You see, the Bible says that Christ has offered himself once for the sins of mankind. The Bible says here in verse 26, for then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But look what it says. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared, who? Jesus, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment, so, look what verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ died once for the sins of mankind. He shed his blood once for the sins of mankind. He took his blood, as it says there in Matthew. He went up to the Father there. He placed the blood on the mercy seat to forever take away sins for all those that come to him and place their faith and trust in what he did on the cross of Calvary. Amen. You see, this morning, I'm made sinlessly perfect in Jesus Christ. He is my righteousness, and he now appears before God there in heaven on my behalf. Amen. For there is one mediator, 1 Timothy, for there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. By his blood, we're made free. I'm going to close with this illustration. You say, preacher, how can you have sinless perfection? Because of what Christ has done for me in my spirit. My spirit has been born again of God, but I still got this flesh to deal with, and that's a whole other Bible study. But I'm going to leave you with this illustration. This really happens. This does still happen. If you're a shepherd, sometimes your ewes are going to have lambs, and what happens sometimes with some shepherds is they'll have a mama sheep, and she'll have a baby, and the baby sheep will die. This mom over here, she gives birth, and she has a baby lamb, but it's stillbirth, it's born dead. And then over here, you have a mama sheep, and she gives birth to a baby lamb, and it lives, but she ends up dying in the childbirth. So over here, you have a living mother, a living lamb or a living sheep, but the lamb has died, and so she has no offspring. And over here you have a baby lamb that was born, but it has no mama because the mama passed away during the childbirth. So the shepherd, in order to try to save the lamb and help the lamb, will take that lamb and bring it over to the mama that lost her lamb. But when that mama smells it, she'll kick at it and beat it and try to get it away, try to kill it. Because when she sniffs it and tries to smell it, she realizes it's not my own. Get it away from me. I want nothing to do with it. It's not mine. And that's how we are before God. We come before a holy God. God looks at us as though, you're not mine. You're sinful. You stink. You're wretched. You're undone. You're wicked. I can have nothing to do with you. And God's rightfully so in saying that. But what that shepherd does, because he doesn't want to lose that baby lamb, he'll take that other baby lamb that has died and he'll skin it a right way, and that lamb's blood will be shed. And it'll take that skin from that dead lamb that shed its blood, and he'll take that skin and he'll stretch it over top of that other baby lamb, and then he'll bring it back over to that mama. And then when that mama sniffs it and smells it, she says, "I'll take it, it's mine." Because she smells her own. She smells her own, and that baby lamb will now live because that mama will now accept it. You see, when you get saved, God doesn't look at you. God the Father doesn't look at you anymore. He looks at his son who shed his blood for you. You are now in Christ, just like that little baby lamb is now inside that skin of that other lamb that died and shed its blood so that it can now be accepted by the mother. Do you not see this morning? That's salvation. When God looks at me, he doesn't see Chris Welton no more. If he still sees Chris Welton, I'm without hope. I need him to see Jesus. Amen. I hope these things made sense this morning. Salvation can only come through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's no other way into heaven but through the blood of the Lamb. Let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. And Lord, I just pray this morning that these things made sense, dear God. Lord, I pray you'd help us to think about these things. Lord, if we're saved, dear God, I pray you'd help us to examine ourselves. Lord, if we're saved, I pray you'd help us to examine ourselves to make sure that we're living a life that's pleasing to you, that's holy, that's righteous, that's godly, in order to be a light and a testimony to this lost and dying world. But Lord, I also pray this evening or this morning, Lord, if there's somebody here that's never been truly born again, God, I pray just help them to think. Lord, that's all I want them to do is just think. Think about eternity, think about their souls, and think about your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and how you shed your blood that we might be made the righteousness of God in you. That we now have justification. We now have imputed righteousness put to our account because of what you've done for us. Help us to think about these things. And Lord, I pray through all this you would receive the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, watch over us as we head home this morning. Lord, keep us safe in our cars as we drive, Lord. And if it be your will, Lord, you bring us back again this evening. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to close with any song this morning. I just want you to think about it. Just think about if you're saved, are you truly living for him with all you got, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? But if you don't know the Lord, I just ask you to think about it this morning. I love you. I appreciate everybody coming out here this morning. May God bless you, and you're dismissed, and Lord willing, see you tonight. Amen.